It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mast.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mast.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell out for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's final hour. Felger and Mast, as promised, right to your calls. Chris in Boston on the NBA NHL playoff formats when we get back. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. One take, one question. So I despise talking about Brady's non-football exploits, and I do not want to belabor his departure much longer. He's gone, next man up. But for a guy who is the cornerstone of the Patriot way, team above self, he threw a deep post of a Molotov cocktail at that philosophy by leaving New England for ego. Not money, not football, pure ego. In an effort to jam it to Bill. And I think McCourty rang that bell today with his interview and the conference call. The guy gets it. I think Brady lost sight of it. Felger, you said it yesterday with regard to the football misstep that Brady ultimately gets down there to the pirate ship and realizes it's as gross as it looks on TV. But I think he totally miscalculated the future value he could have generated for his stupid TV12 brand or Super G's beach conservation platform by not finishing as a Patriot. But way, way, way more importantly, I feel like his legacy gets it, regardless of what his Bucs record winds up being. My question, I'm right there with all of you, like seeing through these seasons for the Bees and Green is literally all I want. Both could have competed to win it all fair and square as of 4 weeks ago. So I'm curious what playoff formats you would be comfortable accepting, meaning trim number of rounds, fewer games per series, such that we don't feel bad about an asterisk on right. any potential hopeful championship. If we look back 5 to 10 years from now on the same. So thanks, guys.
Okay. So that first point's a good, it's a pretty good takedown of Brady. And it's not totally inaccurate. The ultimate guy who just cares about winning and football and doing your job just left because he wanted what? Fancier teammates and better weather and to stick it to his former coach. That's not a bad point by Chris there in Boston. In terms of what's the least you'll accept from the NBA and NHL, what do you got, Murray?
I could live with five-game series. I would actually like five-game series, and Mazur's mentioned it earlier, especially like in the NBA. That first round is mostly useless. You might get a competitive 5-4 type series, but, it's
what if you cut it to an 8-team playoff?
Sure, fine.
Four per side. How would you feel about that?
Yeah, it'd be a little cheesy. I'd want to grab the pen for my asterisk. I think a more palatable thing would be five-game series.
Really? Why? Because, Murray, that first round is so... It's almost always...
In the NHL, though?
Oh, no. So I was just talking about the NBA.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the NBA, fine. I could certainly live with the NBA, but if that happens in the NHL, that's some cheesy crap.
I mean, I think the NBA... Come on. Five, six, seven, eight seeds do squat. They do nothing. They never win. So if the NBA... cut their playoffs in half and went to five-game series. Until you got to the finals, I'd still hope the finals would be seven games. I don't think it would hurt. Like, I don't think there's any asterisk there because, as Maz mentioned, most series are done in five in the early rounds anyway, and the first couple rounds all go according to Hoyle anyway.
There'd be some wow factor that I'd hate to miss. Like, right now, I think it was looking like you could get Lakers Pelicans in that first round. I'd like to see Zion. You know, do they have a chance of winning? No. But I'd like to see that, you know, while I'm sitting around, those games are going on at 10 at night. But in the NHL, though, you couldn't do that because you get a hot goaltender, like, you know, a bottom seed could win.
So, the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs are wide open enough as it is. If you went to five games, oh, my God. It's like
chaos. No,
truly anything could
happen.
Yeah,
that's great. In a good way, I mean.
Yeah.
So, Mike, when you say four aside, you mean eliminate a round.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Just go right to the conference semifinals.
So to me, that would be the bare minimum. Like if you got rid of the first round, and in fact, I think not only the finals in both leagues, the finals and the conference finals should be seven gamers. I don't think those should be cut down to five. You tell me that you only have time for three rounds because that's all that the calendar will allow by then I'll tell you that the first one can be five. If it really came to saving it, that you'd rather have a five gamer than no round at all, I'll take that. But the last two should be seven.
I just want them picked up. And never mind the bigger issues of, you know, giving us a distraction or something to rally around, or just from a very base, sporty, little dorky sport fan level, I'm a Bruins fan, despite the owner, and they have a chance to win the cup. They've been the best team in the league wire to wire this year. They're poised to do it.
And this is their last best chance.
And I think it might be their last best chance for a while. So I don't want them to lose that chance. They're right there. Now, does the three-month gap slow their roll? Does it kill their momentum? It might. Might it lead to some bad habits by some of their players? Like, what's David Pastrnak doing in these 3 months? That's a concern. How's Charlie McAvoy's diet in these 3 months? That's a concern. Like I said before, I know Zdeno Chara right now is doing one-legged squats with a body vest on and then doing, like, one-legged, hurdles. Like, he's fine. I'm not worried about him. But some of those other guys?
Right, Pastrnak's become like the rest of us, just hitting the liquor store buying vodka.
I mean, yeah.
not that he's a huge factor, but Nick Ritchie. It is Nick, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He was out of shape when he got here. What's he going to look like after he gets 3 months off?
So it's not going to help the Bruins, but I still, hopefully they keep that edge, that wonderful edge they've had all season long. You know, they're motivated from that Game 7 loss last year to St. Louis. Hopefully this thing in these 3 months won't kill that. I mean, it might, but hopefully it doesn't, and I want them to have a chance to finish what they started. And so I'd, just from a pure level like that, and I'll just say it for one more time, I'm a Milwaukee Bucks fan, and we're going to lose Giannis in a year. Giannis is gone. He's got this year and then next year left on his contract, and then he is gone. He's gone. He's a member of the Miami Heat, the Lakers, the Knicks. He's gone.
Celtics.
We're not going to be able to keep him. Dream on there, Stu. Might as well stay in Milwaukee if those are your choices. But so as a Bucks fan, I got this year and next, and then life's over. I don't want to, I got two more chances to win the only titles I'll ever see. I don't want them to cancel the season. And now I've lost it. Now I've lost a year of service to Giannis and another MVP year when they're poised. And not that they're a favorite or not that I think they'll do it, but this is.
No, one of the worst things you can end up.
This year and next is their only chance. And now they're going to. So I don't want to cancel the NBA season. Whatever it takes, you bring it back.
You have to with both because there's a lot of fan bases that would end up like the worst thing you can end up as a sports fan, like the 94 Expos fans who wander around the rest of their lives like, what if? Oh, if they played that season, that team was so stacked. They got ripped off. They should have been the champions. Well, you don't know. And that's a sucky way to live. So get back at it, even if it means it's a shortened postseason, and figure it the hell out.
And the Celtics, they're in it,
and would be healthy.
They're in it. They'd be healthy, I think, and if this feels like a lifetime ago, but the last week or two going into the hiatus, they were getting a little wonky. Tatum had sort of flattened out and injuries and, they had fallen their
blown leads.
Three games behind Toronto. They had a slew of bad losses. Like, maybe that just the hiatus sort of wipes the slate clean. They're healthy, and now all of a sudden, they're right back in it. So if I'm a Celtics fan, I want this thing to resume. You got a shot, too. Here's Jeff on Cape Cod on the Patriots. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, so, as I look at this whole Stidham thing, he's not ready. Is it possible that Bill feels that somebody's getting sort of horny for him, and he'll get like a fourth or a fifth? And then my second thing is, did you guys hear the Schefter comment about doing the draft over 7 days? I despise these gimmicky things, but with nothing on TV other than Netflix and other stuff, this would give you guys so much fodder for 7 days and put so much more what's normally boring and kind of break it up.
Oh my God. I'm just going to cut you off, Jeff. First of all, how do you know Stidham's not ready? How do you know that?
Nobody knows that.
When's the last time you saw him throw a pass? Or, you know, you have no idea.
People put too much into that pick six against the Jets. I think that's what a lot of
people.
Oh,
God. I think that's so true, Murray. It's like, come on, give the kid a break. But, you know, that was a bad moment, but that was 8 months ago or whenever it was. For crying out loud, you have no idea if he's ready or not. None. In terms of stretching the draft out over seven days, sure, go nuts.
Give it to me.
Yeah, I don't mind that either. I'll take that. Yeah.
Happily.
7 rounds, 7 days, I'm in.
Seriously. Yeah.
In fact, not only would I make it 7 days, I would make sure it's Monday through Friday so that we get 7 full shows out of it. That's what I vote for.
Usually I say anything after the first round you can do on your own time. Not this year. Yeah. That's all of our times, Mr. Hand. You know, we will break down the 6th round like you read about.
I love those 7th round picks that the Patriots have. I love them.
We continue with your calls. There's a couple open lines at 617-779-0985. It's Felger and Maz presented by DraftKings. Felger and
Maz. Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
Miss something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
What are you hearing about where the NBA is thinking it may be able to go from here?
Right. Well, the big thing that the NBA is going to have to do in any sports league is they're going to have to create a bubble that they can get healthy players, referees, and officials and television personnel into. And that is, again, if you keep hearing me say this, Greeny, I'm going to keep saying that is what China is doing. They are taking some smaller cities in China. They're big cities compared to our cities, but some smaller cities in China where they didn't have an outbreak. They're putting all the players, well, they had outbreak, but not as severe. They're putting all the players through quarantining tests, and they're trying to get them into that bubble so that once that bubble can be established, they can play games within it. And that's what the idea of playing a charity game would be. It would be practice in creating the bubble. And look, nobody knows how this is going to go. We have a lot of things we have to go through, but it's even possible that this bubble could be created in a non-NBA city. If we get to May and we find places in this country that have less of an outbreak than others, where it may be safer to get a gathering together, maybe it's in Nashville, Tennessee, maybe it's in Billings, Montana. Maybe it's a non-NBA city. But the ability to create that bubble to play within is what the NBA is going to try to figure out. And they're going to spend a lot of time watching and trying to figure out how to do that.
Okay, good. Good. Whatever it takes. Now, that was Brian Windhorst last week, I think. Friday, or maybe it was earlier this week. Either way, it's a couple days ago. I've been meaning to do this topic for days, but Brady keeps giving us material. So we decided to do it today. But again, that's old sound. So in the interim, between when Windhorst first said that and today, it turns out China is delaying their return even further. They were going to start this week. However, the league decided, now I'm reading from a CBS Sports story, the China Basketball Association, has decided to delay even further, looking at May as an option to restart. The CBA planned to play its games without fans in attendance and attempt to avoid spreading the virus even further, but the league did not get approval from the government to continue playing. And the Chinese government cited the postponement of the Tokyo Olympics as well as other international basketball leagues delaying their starts. So, fine. To me, this is all good. Like, okay, the league does everything it can based on the evidence and what the experts are saying to get back. They plan for a return. They try and return. At the end, the government takes a look at the whole thing and says, it's probably not a good idea. Let's not do it. And so they push it back further. And that's fine, too. I mean, not that I'm supporting the Chinese government or anything, but just, you know, generally speaking, the league's doing everything it can to get back. The government is then looking at it and saying, is it safe or not? And then they give the green light or not. But either way, these leagues are trying to get back. They're being creative. They're doing different things. They're doing everything they can to get back and play. And then the people in charge make the call.
Yeah, I don't see any problem in trying to set markers, I guess, for lack of a better term. Just try to, you know, give some people some hope, too, or something to look forward to. And if you don't reach them, then you just push it further like they did with this Chinese basketball league.
So exactly. And I think that's what the NBA should be doing and the NHL should be doing. And hopefully they're doing it. And I think they are doing it. I think they are. So that's one of our topics today, along with all of this Patriots stuff. Also, Cam Newton's available. Cam Newton is available. What if he agreed to come here on a one-year deal for nothing, for dirt cheap money, for under $5 million, one-year prove-it deal? He knows it's his only chance to get the next big deal, rehabilitate his image, become a free agent next year. And he's willing to do that. Walk in here for nothing. And I have no idea that he is. I haven't heard one thing that he is. I'm just saying, if that were the case.
You're facilitating.
I'm facilitating. Would you do it if you were the Patriots? Jacob in Alston on that. Go ahead, Jacob.
Yeah, so I first of all, I don't think he's coming in for anything less than $10 million guaranteed, which I think even at that number, I think it's worth it.
Jacob, okay, so you would do it for 10, but so why?
I mean, he just had a whole year off. I mean, I think these last two or three years, you haven't really seen exactly what he is. His body's been just battered each and every year. So he had this whole year off to kind of refresh, get back mentally, physically where he needs to be. I think, obviously, New England, it's a great spot to kind of come in and rehabilitate his image, his on-field play and everything, as he kind of just alluded to.
So, look, my thought is, and what I want as a talk show host and a hot take artist, is for Bill to win with his guy. And, like, that's been my whole premise here, that, you know, Bill can draft and develop the next guy and plug in the next guy and, you know, and that's Stidham. So that's what, like, that's been my whole thing, okay? That's been my whole take. And Cam Newton does not fit into that take. That being said, if he were willing to come in here for nothing, just a rehab deal, a one-year prove-it deal, when I say prove-it, I mean for no money. He's purely here to set up his next contract on another team. How do you not think about that, Maz? How do you not
do
it?
I would do it under this condition, though. And to me, this is a critical part of the whole thing. It really depends on how Bill feels about Jarrett Stidham. In other words, Craig Bedard told us earlier in the offseason that the Patriots viewed Stidham as being on a similar trajectory or path as Jimmy Garoppolo. Garoppolo didn't play until year three. Stidham is going into year two. So if Belichick looks at Stidham and says, he's really not ready, I need more time, then absolutely a stopgap guy. I would take, this is the whole reason we got on to people like Andy Dalton as part of a discussion, or Nick Foles. And I put Cam Newton is certainly, the upside's a lot higher. He's a different caliber of player. But if it's a one-year deal, you're bridging it to Stidham. I love that idea. I would absolutely do it.
I'm starting to talk myself into it, frankly.
I'm a no, because it feels like it's more about buzz than anything else. And it's you're trying to remain relevant. This is going to be a bridge year.
What do you mean? You don't think he can play?
I think he's cooked. I do. I think he hasn't been the same guy since that Super Bowl. And he didn't even make it through the preseason last year. It was the Patriots he got hurt against. And here's the thing. If he could come here and Bill could convince him to play differently, in other words, is he going to dodge hits? Is he going to continue to try to, can he learn to slide and get out of bounds? Because that hasn't been part of his game forever. And when he was at his best, I mean, that was a benefit to his game. Now it's why he's basically cooked at 30 or 31. So, I don't know, can you convince him to change and stay in the pocket and be more of a pocket passer? Then maybe, but I don't think you can teach Cam Newton at this point in his career to be a different guy.
What if they don't want that? What if they want to run around guy and do some read option stuff and RPOs and all this crap?
He's cooked. He can't take those hits anymore. He's done.
Well, I mean, the caller made a good point. He just had a year of rest, basically. And he's got,
he couldn't make it through the preseason.
And he's got like, 1 year. Well, I mean, didn't he get hurt in the game here?
Yeah.
I think that was the game, right?
He did. Yeah, yeah. He did.
To me, it's about the contract and the mindset, right? I still think their first plan was to have Brady come back on a crappy 1 year deal, him caving and coming back in one more year, and you bridge it to Stidham. Well, if they can do that same thing with Newton, but even less, I don't know how you don't think about it. And is he the same guy? No. But what if he's 80% of the MVP guy? I mean, don't you think you can win with that guy?
Yeah, look, and I'll tell you, I'm almost more intrigued if he doesn't run around. In other words, put him under Belichick, put him under McDaniels, and say, Cam, look, you're 31 years old, which, as we all know, in the modern NFL, is not old. And say, listen, you need to refine other parts of your game now. We'll help you do that. You go back on the market, you get a big payday next fall or next offseason. And so let's see how it works. To me, that's intriguing. But again, only if they think Stidham's not ready. If Stidham's ready, then fine. Let's get the Jarrett Stidham ball rolling, because I think that's the long-term play for the Patriots. But if they need a stopgap and he's cheap, why not?
Here's our buddy Tom in Quincy. Happy Red Sox opening day, Tom. Did you know that the season was set to start tomorrow? Did you remember that?
Of course I remember that. It effed up my plans for next April for the April 2nd gig. But, you know, I've had to suck that in. I kept the days off, though. Why not? I want to talk about the tight end situation, because I don't know what the hell they're doing with that.
Go ahead.
But I did notice that the Sox traded for another catcher. So thank God. They traded for another friggin' catcher. But, okay, the tight end situation, Mike, honestly, I'm not sure what they're doing. Because if you're going to go with Stidham, right, you want some, like, reliable hands or something, you know, a tight end, you got Edelman or whatever. But all the guys that we've talked about over and over and over again, if it's the Hooper or, you know, Hunter Henry, these guys. But now, the last guy that was kind of like the last man standing type thing,
Eifert,
was Tyler Eifert. And now he's gone too. So it's like they couldn't even get Hayden Hurst, who was a second-string guy. They couldn't even trade for him because he's behind Mark Andrews in Baltimore. It's like, if you guys know how important that friggin' position is on that team, why are they doing absolutely zero on it?
Like, hey, well, let me just stop you, Tommy. Is that a fair criticism?
Well, so I was surprised Eifert got a lot more money than I thought he was going to get. I don't know what the guaranteed money is. And Murray, I know you've been reporting it. Did I hear right? 2 years, $15
million? That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, that is ridiculous for a guy who has the injury history he does. Now, again, I don't know the guaranteed money off the top of my head. I'm not giving him that kind of money if a lot of it's guaranteed.
He's made
no
of glass. Shot.
Okay, right. So now he had a little bit of a bounce back here last year, and he stayed healthy. I thought he was a guy the Patriots should have picked up at the deadline. But look, I think they're going to address it in the draft. That's sort of what my instinct tells me. The other thing I wonder, though, is that if Stidham is the quarterback, maybe Belichick looks at Lacoste and Izzo, and I'm just saying, let's see. I'm not telling you I love either one of those guys. But maybe he looks at those guys the same way he's looking at N'Keal Harry and Jacoby Myers and saying they never had a chance because the quarterback iced them out. And so let's see what they do with a younger quarterback who's sort of on the same intellectual plane as they are, and where we have to dumb down the offense a little bit, and the kid's going to be willing to throw them the ball. Because we all know when those two guys, when the names were raised to Brady in the press conference early in the year, he all but blew snot out of his nose.
Okay, meanwhile, let's hear from an expert coming up next. An expert, Paul Sachs from Brigham and Women's, who can tell us his expert opinion on the viability of these leagues coming back this summer. Playing games in empty buildings, what's the viability of that? And just a generic update on the coronavirus and how we're doing as a city and the things we can do and all of that. He's a great interview. He's a great guy to talk to. You'll hear from him right after Murray's update.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
All right. Earlier we had on Dr. Paul Sachs. He's the, don't have the title in front of me, Maz. What's his title?
He's the clinical director.
Thank you. Clinical director of infectious disease at Brigham and Women's Hospital. We had him on 2 weeks ago when the bleep first hit the fan. He was terrific. So we had him back on today to discuss all the things we were discussing today and then some other just sort of general stuff with the coronavirus. So I start off by asking him about Mark Cuban's comments about he wants to be back by June 1, and if he were betting, he were taking the under. And I start off by asking Dr. Sachs if he thought that was at all realistic.
Well, I think as much as we all want to plan things out and make predictions, we really need to be humble here. We don't know how long this is going to take, and we know that it's not going to be fast, and it's nice to speculate, but anybody who thinks that they can put a date on it is really misleading you. So I would say let's see how things go with this extreme social distancing that we're doing and other measures before we make any plans.
How about this idea of an empty building and, you know, creating a bubble? And I don't know if you were, you know, listening before, but, you know, testing everybody who would be in the building, everyone who would be playing these games, everyone who would be officiating these games, quarantine those people, make sure that they stay in their own bubble and just, you know, do games like that. Do you think empty buildings and that sort of thing is feasible?
That is feasible. In fact, when you look at successful control measures, they all involve aggressive testing even people who don't have symptoms, which is something we've not been able to do in this country, and then isolating them from others. Remember, it's pretty clear how this is spread, and if you don't have the infection, you can't spread it to someone else. So people who test negative are really not going to be transmitting it to others.
Dr. Sachs, since you mentioned that that ideally we'd want to test people who don't have any symptoms, I think, you know, we've all heard reports or know people who've tested positive but are asymptomatic. Do we have any better grasp of what percentage of people might be carrying the virus but are asymptomatic? And, you know, can we get any read on that at all?
Well, that's a really excellent question. And some of the best data come out of a fascinating experience that happened in Italy. They actually had a small town where they were able to do testing up front. And in the midst of really what is a terrible outbreak in that country, they found several people who were asymptomatic, and they just then completely isolated them and they shut the town off from the rest of the country. They had about 40 to 50% of people who tested positive or asymptomatic. Now, this was at a time when the virus was entering Italy big time, you know, so that it was at a peak when it was the slope upward of cases was increasing rapidly. So it could be as high as that number. I think in most settings, it's been lower than that. Sometimes when they find people who have no symptoms initially, they then subsequently develop symptoms, mild or moderate. But believe me, there is an asymptomatic period, which is one reason why we're strongly recommending the social distancing, even for people who feel well.
Dr. Sachs, we spoke to you 2 weeks ago when the thing really sort of hit the fan. And now, you know, I feel like the federal government has caught up-ish, you know, finally. And, you know, we've enacted all of these measures. So I ask you now, just about 2 weeks later, how do you think we're doing?
Well, here in Boston, I think we're doing a really good job. You know, and I'm obviously biased. I think we all recognize the severity of the problem. Both the medical community and the public really have rallied around this. One thing that I don't like hearing about are people who say things like, you know, the social distancing is worse than the disease, and that's just not true medically. This is a potentially very severe infection, and we want to do everything we can to reduce the numbers and so we can get back to normal. You know, these few months of sacrifice are really in order to save lives. And once again, I want to underscore this. It's not just the lives of the elderly whose lives should be saved, but it's also the lives of some unfortunate young people who get very sick with this as well.
Yeah, why is there a reason that you're seeing the numbers that we're seeing for, you know, ages 18 to 49? Like, you know, when this thing was first reported, it's like, oh, well, if you're young, you really don't have to worry about it that much. And all of a sudden, it feels like worldwide, there's been this surge, especially here, of people in that age range that are getting it.
It actually was kind of a misunderstanding of the data. When the initial reports came out, they really reported only the hospitalized cases. And the hospitalized cases were mostly in the middle-aged to elderly people with a lot of other medical problems, and that's still the case even in the United States. However, there's always been a small number of young people who, when they get this infection, they get extremely sick. And when you do broader testing, you realize that actually the rate of infection in young people is even higher than it is in older people because they socialize so much and they mingle so much. So in Korea, I keep citing South Korea, where they've done a ton of testing, they actually find the rate of infection is the highest in the youngest people. And all it takes is a few of those people to get very sick, and it's really just a tragedy. So that's why I think some misunderstanding of the data initially by everybody, and you know, now that we have better data, we understand that this is occurring at all ages, and it's just that if you get this, it's more likely to be severe if you're older and have medical problems.
Again, Dr. Paul Sachs, he's the clinical director for infectious disease at Brigham and Women's Hospital. Again, join us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Maz, did you have another question?
I did, Dr. Sachs. You know, as Mike said, we spoke with you 10 days ago. I'm wondering if we know any more about the disease now than we did 10 days ago. For example, I read a story that suggested there is a latitudinal corridor on the globe between, I think, 30 and 50 degrees on the globe latitude that most of the severe outbreaks have taken place in. Do we believe that it is climate related, those sorts of things?
Well, there is a precedent for respiratory infections to be climate related, but there is really no likelihood, unfortunately, that any latitude will be spared. I know that testing in southern hemisphere is due to resource limitations likely to be much lower, and as a result, in the tropical areas, they don't have as much case detection. But we're all very concerned that there actually is quite a bit of undiagnosed COVID-19 in those countries. So yes, I saw those reports. I wouldn't speculate that it's going to be worse at this latitude than others.
Doctor, I want to play you one more clip from Mark Cuban, because he said something that I heard no one else say, and he's just a businessman. He's not a doctor, but so, you know, I have to consider the source, which is why I want to bounce this off of you. He was optimistic. He thinks they'll be back sooner than we think, and we'll be out ahead of this sooner than we think, and he had a reason. So I want you to listen to this and give me your thoughts. Go ahead, Jim.
What needs to happen between here and there for that to actually come to fruition?
Really, one thing. We've got to get to a point where our scientists have come up with not a cure, but a therapy that we know minimizes the impact of the virus. So that if we get this into a person quickly enough, that they're not going to die, and B, hopefully they won't be scarred or damaged for life. Mm-hmm. Once we do that, then we have a path out. And I think we're not there yet, but we're getting closer and closer. I think it's hydroxychloroquine, if that's the way it's pronounced, is one drug they're looking at. They're looking at other therapies that they're testing that are starting to help. Once we have a medical light at the end of the tunnel where we know what the worst case is, then, okay, we can start venturing outside and being in groups of 10 instead of being by ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. And then groups of 25 and then 50 and go from there. So I think that's the first step, and I think that's going to happen a little bit faster than we originally expected.
Okay, so again, not a cure, but a therapy that mitigates the symptoms or the contagion, or allows us to, I don't know, not hospitalize as many people, something along those lines, doctor. And he feels that we're getting there closer than we realize. Have you heard anything like that?
We need to be very cautious about interpreting medical information from people who are not studying it, from non-doctors, non-scientists, non-public health officials. The initial reports on use of hydroxychloroquine have some favorable signals, but also some signals that aren't as well publicized that are negative. I'm going to shout out to Maz's sister, Elena. She's the one who prescribes hydroxychloroquine because it's used for rheumatologic diseases. She's a wonderful doctor at the Brigham. But I will say that as an infectious disease treatment, it was originally used for malaria. It does not really have much antiviral activity that we know until there are really carefully done studies in people with this infection, controlled studies. We cannot make any conclusions that it's effective in treatment of coronavirus. And as a result, as of today, there is no proven effective therapy for COVID-19. And I do not expect that to change before the timeline that was mentioned in the quote.
Doctor, along these lines, what's the most dangerous piece of misinformation you're hearing out there?
Well, one that I just feel very sad about is when people say it's no big deal if you get this, because there is a very broad spectrum of the infection, and some of them is quite severe. I feel very happy for the people who had mild disease and that they recovered uneventfully, but there are other individuals who are critically ill, and there are also individuals who survive a hospitalization and are having prolonged periods of very bad fatigue and shortness of breath. So this is a potentially very severe infection, and it is not an overreaction, what we've done here. Even though it seems so dramatic, our lives have all changed so much. I think that's important that people realize this can be very serious. So that's just a very important message. Take it seriously. We're all taking it seriously.
And, Doctor, quickly, there's also seemingly an ocean's worth of misinformation when it comes to self-checking. My dad told me about this the other night, so hopefully you can set him straight. One of which is attempting to hold your breath for 10 seconds. You pull that off with no issues. Your lungs are fine, and you don't have COVID-19. This is a crock, right?
Yeah, that information has been circulating widely. I've heard it from many different people. I don't know where the information came from. It does sort of at least glance against one of the symptoms of severe COVID-19, which is shortness of breath. But there is no evidence that this particular test would be useful for people who are listening.
Maz, do you have anything more?
I do not.
Doctor, I have one more, and that is for the people out there, for us. What's the single most important thing we can do, both for ourselves and for the world, going forward here?
Well, maybe I can have three. One I would say is continue this social and physical distancing. Only by reducing the spread to other people are we going to get a handle on this. The second is, if you do get sick, take care of yourself, but, you know, sadly, isolate yourself from your family. Try to keep from spreading it within the family. That's what we learned from China, is that those are the most efficient transmissions. And the third one is, really, we need to support each other emotionally, and this is important to do it in ways that we're not used to. It means doing it a lot electronically. It means just looking out for people's both physical and emotional health. So those are my three. Thanks a lot.
Okay. So the isolation is there. And just real quick, but so you wouldn't rule out, and not that you would put a date on it, but you wouldn't rule out late summer back to normalcy and maybe some ball games.
I wouldn't rule it out under the conditions that you described, which sound like they're very controlled.
Okay, Doctor, thank you again for your time. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thanks for inviting me.
Okay, Dr. Paul Sachs there from Brigham and Women's Hospital. Always a great conversation. Always a great landline. Let that be a model on top of everything else. Never mind the advice. Okay, and again, that was our conversation from before. So he's saying there's a chance. These controlled environments come back in the late summer. So I think the league should do all that they can do to see that that happens. And if we can't do it, we can't do it. And in the meantime, holding your breath for 10 seconds does not mean you don't have it, unfortunately. Because I hold my breath about 12 times a day. I give myself that test all the time. I make myself feel much better, Murray, about myself.
I still do it, too. I know I threw my dad under the bus, but I same thing every time I drive in.
Yep, I'm fine.
All right, are good.
We're all good. Too bad. So I'll ignore that part of the conversation. Meanwhile, the final word comes your way next.
Dugger Fez. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go, and that's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Real quick, Jim, I'm doing an online chat tonight on my social media platform that I haven't really done in quite a while. I can't say it because I'm actually an investor in the company.
The old FC.
Yeah, they don't like me saying the actual name for those kind of reasons because, again, I'm an investor. But it's the same platform that the McCourty brothers were on the other night.
Oh, cool.
It's still around and kicking. I think the guys at the FC have control over my Twitter account, so if there's any stupid tweets out there, I'm not even on the thing. They run it, so I think they'll let you know exactly what it is if you don't know on Twitter. I do have a Twitter page, so they probably tweeted something out. Tonight at 8:30 on that platform, we're doing just an online chat about sports, life, whatever the hell you want. 8:30 tonight, so join
me.
Can
you do that broadcast in, like call in and do the video chat thing still?
I don't even understand what you just said.
Like, can the people interact other than typing
you
messages?
Yes, yes, yes. We get to see your pretty face on your smartphone. It's a video chat, okay? It's a video chat. So join me for that thing.
All right. So there's obviously worse
Whip
things.
Whip it out.
There's obviously worse things in the world to have to deal with right now. But with that being said, this show has had a run of bad phone calls over the last 3 days. So with that, let's relive a best of Mad Mike going nuts about bad phone calls.
Like I said, we've got so much to get to. I can't promise a ton of phones today. Here's might be your best chance. So let's bang through these. Please be ready to go and be brief. And if I hang up on you, it's just because I want to get a lot of people in. Tony and Stoneham, lead us off today. Go.
Mike in Mansfield. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call. I know you guys are busy, so I just want to make this brief.
Mike, you got to be quicker. Frank on Cape Cod. Hi, Frank.
Hey, Maz, to quote Emperor Hirohito, time to endure the unendurable. I'm in out of the jungle. Hey, Murray, what psychotropic thing did you sneak into Joe Kelly's brownies to turn him into a cool, calm, and collected eighth-inning pitcher?
Him? Price?
You gotta be quicker. Jeff in Rhode Island, go.
Hi, guys. I'm just calling in. I just want to speak to Maz directly, and pretty much everyone in that booth there. You guys made this team no shot. You complained about the bullpen, and I mean, it's just you old Red Sox Nation. You guys were completely wrong.
An apology? Do we really want an apology, Jeff? Jeff, have you called us before? Oh, he dropped. Bird in Maine. Hi, Bird. Go ahead.
How are you guys doing? Hey, you remember the Bird and Bat Power Ranking back?
Bird, I don't. This is why I'm not going to take a lot of calls. This is a good lesson.
Time to endure the unendurable.
It's true. All we do is take phone calls and rag on them.
Yeah.
That's the show.
Those were the days getting blood about the 2018 Red Sox.
Who cheated? What other show are you going to get a Hirohito reference
on? Who cheated?
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150. Win or lose, bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. LineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything, and that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.